Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of... No, just put the cartridge in a little bit, and then you don't even have to press down, you just press pow. Geek Cave Podcast Gaming, I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just, you know, weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. They've got thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want, and when you're done, just send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And they really do have a bunch of stuff in the store there at Gamefly.com, not just video games, but merch and all that stuff. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at GeekCavePodcast.com.
That is how my spouse got her copy of Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. It's a good game.
She got it at launch and decided to keep it.
And we'll get into that because I do have a follow-up on that. We had kind of a quasi-review for that last month. But first, Chad.
Check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
I've made no secret that I really enjoyed Bloodborne right up until I didn't. I love the atmosphere, the world, the story, the map that encouraged exploration to find shortcuts. I like the lore, everything, except for, you know, some cheesy boss fights that just couldn't be interrupted and spam the same attack over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get rid of the boss fights and Bloodborne would be a nearly perfect game for me. You know, I don't mind it being difficult. I liked the atmospheric thing where you've got just individual enemies and a couple of harder ones, but bosses, man, the bosses sucked. Sucked, I tell you. I've also made no secret of the fact that weapon durability is something I don't appreciate. It has to be done well, and most games don't. Either it's too expensive, a la Dark Cloud, or impossible, a la Breath of the Wild, to fix.
Yeah.
So here I am playing the demo for Lies of P, the Pinocchio Soulsborne game. What's the story? Heck if I know. The game begins with the Blue Fairy bringing Pinocchio, presumably, to life and encouraging him to get to a place, get to the Crot Hotel. You pick up Gemini, your automaton cricket guide, and Lantern, which you turn on by flicking his cage.
Lovely.
That's lovely. And then you get to choose your playstyle. A balanced strength and dex build called Path of the Cricket, a strength-based build called Path of the Sweeper, or a dex-based build called Path of the Bastard. I just had to.
Yeah.
And it gifts you a rapier and the ability to attack quickly and dodge often, and it was a workable style for me. So I jumped in. The opening level of this is probably the easiest of any Soulsborne game I have played. And it takes a lot more of its lessons from Bloodborne than it does Dark Souls. There's blocking, which is a Dark Souls kind of thing, but a lot of it is, at least the way I was playing, built around dodging, built around moving, built around using the environment so that you're kind of one-on-one fighting as much as you can. The enemies, they're far apart, they attack singly, they die relatively easily. It allows the player to learn all the different techniques appropriate for your path to get through. Had one kind of a mini boss fight that you have to find in order to get the key to get out. And then we find our bonfires. I mean, lanterns. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, stargazers.
There you go.
They do the same thing. You know, that's where you get to level up. That's where you get to save. That's where, if you use it, all of the bad guys come back. And shortly after leveling up with bolstered confidence, I immediately found myself ganged up by about 4 enemies and 2 clockwork dogs that killed me post-haste. The death screen then says, lie or die. I don't know what that means, but it, I mean, you start back up at the little stargazer thing and all the bad guys are back. It's a lovingly constructed game. It adopts the best and the worst qualities of the Soulsborne games. Now, to its credit, they did learn the right lessons from those games. I never felt that the game was being unfair. You know, those 4 enemies and the 2, you know, automaton clockwork dogs that killed me was because I decided to just run into an area instead of kind of carefully looking around and seeing what to do. Your weapon does degrade. However, you have a grinder on the metal arm that you've got that you can basically restore your weapon with a single button push.
Nice.
So, since this is the kind of game where you don't have enemies that are constantly coming up, it's not a hack and slash. There's almost always time to be able to take to restore your weapon. And it doesn't, if you don't do it and your weapon breaks, it's useless. And early in the game, you can't get another one. Then you just have to punch things with your metal arm. And that does not do nearly as much damage as you would hope.
If you're Pinocchio, why don't you just lie and then break off your nose and use that as a club?
Well, for all I know, that's something that will happen later.
Oh, okay.
But I absolutely recommend this demo if you've liked any of the Soulsborne games or Sekiro, you know, Shadows Die Twice, you know, those kind of things. It's not made by the From Software. It's not made by them, but it is so meticulously made to act and look like them, you'd be forgiven for thinking that it was. I don't think this will change your mind if you don't like them, but for me, this might very well show up on my purchase list.
Very cool.
Cool.
You've had some stinkers, so I'm glad you got a good one there.
I'm glad I got a good one too.
Yeah. Justin.
Darren.
So you know, I keep trying to find creative ways to ask this and I'm running out, so just how are you and Reddit doing? I mean, have you been surviving that blackout?
Yeah, thankfully I found a bunch of my questions prior to that and wrote them down. What
Good
questions
call.
You may ask? Well, as many of you know, I don't get to play many video games, but I do have a wide plethora of knowledge that I think is useful to the gaming community. And so I go to Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that deserve a definitive answer, and I answer them in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is the PE version of Minecraft like Java, Bedrock, or something in between? Well, while video games can be used for educational purposes, I don't see how Minecraft can be used in physical education. Minecraft Steve is swole as hell, trust me, but that doesn't translate to the real world. Just because he can dig his way through a mountain in less than 20 minutes doesn't mean you can. Consult your doctor before facing the Ender Dragon.
You know, I do want to eventually have the stamina that he has, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, just, he must be doing, like, CrossFit or something.
Well, I mean, what else would you call the kind of mining and cutting? See,
he's
really,
punching
just,
trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really it comes down to, though, I want to be able to eat a whole chicken and not feel like crap the next day.
Yeah. That is the dream.
It's just pure
that
protein.
That is the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Justin, for someone who doesn't play a lot of games, you have 2 segments in this gaming segment. So tell me, what have you been bits deep in lately.
Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Okay. This month is a rare occasion. I've got three games to talk about.
Oh, geez. All right. Let's go ahead and what'd you do? You got a game you want to review?
Yeah, a couple of reviews, and then I guess technically a review for the Bits Deep one. So I picked up Pokemon Violet recently.
Okay.
That's the purple one, right?
Yes, it's the purple one, as opposed to Pokemon Scarlet.
Which is kind of reddish.
Kind of reddish, yeah. It is the newest in the Pokemon series. It is an open world thing. It's an open world. You don't have to engage with anybody unless you don't want to. You could spend your entire time tooling around this island that you're on.
Now, talk about living the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a very long tutorial to get started. Very long. But once that tutorial section is over, you are given free rein to go do whatever you want. Although you are given three quests to go on. Hmm. Not just become a Pokemon master. We're talking take down bad guys. We're talking find these legendary things. We're talking become a Pokemon master. It's a bit daunting if you just look at it like that. It feels like it's sluggish. The moving portion.
Yeah.
And there are times when I'll see somebody off in the background and they're moving at two frames per a two frame rate. And then you get closer and then they start moving at, you know, a more fluid motion. So it's
as you get closer, they become more important.
Yes. So it feels very sluggish. I kind of put it down after a while. I haven't picked it back up yet, but hopefully it's a Pokemon game. I mean,
right.
You got to catch them all.
For better or worse, I'm sure that Game Freak has learned absolutely nothing from Pokemon Legends Arceus, and it's more Pokemon.
No. Yeah. The other game is a game called Unpacking.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with this one.
I wanted something just kind of chill that I could just kind of do, you know, drop in and out of and play and whatever. And basically the point is you are put into a scenario where you have boxes to unpack. You take stuff out. And you put them kind of where they would go. It gives you hints if something's not in, quote unquote, the right space. And then you can fix it. And then you get stickers and stars and whatever. And it progresses from a young girl's room to a college dorm to an apartment she shares with friends to an apartment she shares with a love interest. And that's as far as I've gotten in the game. Mm-hmm. But the music is very chill and it's just kind of, okay, I've pulled out a shirt. Do I want to fold it up or do I want to hang it up? Do I want to, you know, it's, you know, but it's all kind of 64-bit or 16-bit graphics. So it's got that Super Nintendo feel to it. So it's got a retro feel, but not like you're playing an old school game.
Right.
It's a point and click, but on the Switch, it works really well.
Nice.
Yeah. So now for my bits deep.
All right.
So this is where I've picked games on Gamefly just by their cover. I'm not judging them by their cover, but I've decided I'm going to play you. Mm-hmm. This month's selection is a game called Black Sad Under the Skin. Now, I picked it because, and I'm going to show Chad, and to be fair, when I played this, Darren was there in the room with me. So he knows.
All right.
I picked it because the main character is a cat who looks vaguely like Batman in a trench coat.
Huh.
He is a black cat with a whitish muzzle and ears, and he's anthropomorphic and he's wearing a trench coat. So I'm like, okay, Cat Bat. See the comic segment.
Yeah.
Or Bat Cat, whatever.
Bat Cat, yeah.
Yeah. So I put it in. And I can't play it. There's not enough space on my PS5 for the update. And it crashes. It's like, okay. So I have to make a choice. I can leave it like this. Or I can clear up space on my hard drive and try and install the download. And move forward.
The download, which was the same size as the base game.
Yes. Very big.
Wow.
Yeah. So, in an effort to be as
diligent, thorough
as possible, I decided to clear off some stuff on my PS5, including God of War. I deleted God of War, and I downloaded the install. And what happened next was a game.
Oh, it's a game.
It's a game. It is a... There's been a suicide, but it's not really a suicide. It's a murder. And you have to solve it. And you are this black sad. He's a detective. He moves like a tank. Mm-hmm. Poorly.
Horribly.
He does not make corners well. You try to move him left, and he just kind of veers off into a wall. He drives like a frickin' tank.
Right.
The dialogue was something else. Think old school noir, like Maltese Falcon, that kind of thing. Stereotypically that kind of thing. So
I could smell a rat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wasn't just because it was lunchtime.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's kind of like a Telltale game where something happens and then you got to push a button to dodge or do or whatever. And then you go looking for clues. You find a goat who's blind. And then you have the option to ask him if he's seen anything.
Okay.
They knew what they were doing there because the goat's response to that, and I had to do it.
Yeah, of course.
Was very sarcastic in response.
Right.
Yeah. Darren, do you have anything else you want to add about this game?
I would say that the energy level of this review pretty much matches the energy level of the game in that there is none. I will say, though, that, like, the world is intriguing. Like, think Zootopia meets Columbo.
I'm on board.
Yeah, but then make it play, like, the worst possible version of a Telltale game. Yeah. And I love me some Telltale games, but I had the controller for maybe 10 minutes, and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. And so once he and I both drove Cat McTank, I ejected the disc, I deleted the information, and went to bed.
Now,
okay,
I should add that in solidarity with you, after he deleted God of War, I also made sure he deleted Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
I wasn't going to play that anyway.
I didn't think he was.
You know, the thing is it's okay, man. I mean, I had to delete God of War off of my PS5 as well to make room. Because between the two of them, it's like 120 gigs worth of game. And it's like, it's going to be a while since I play through them again. I can re-download them then.
That's true. So, I've taken up way too much time in the gaming segment, something I barely do. So, I'm going to turn it back over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Justin. Very thorough.
I've talked too much. I don't like it.
I'm sorry that Black Sad made you slightly sad.
Sad.
Yeah. It was great, though, because like the game... Just one more thing, just about the start of the game. The game launches, right? This is before we applied the update. The game launches, and the first thing you see after getting past the title screen is just this guy hanging by the neck over a boxing gym ring, over a boxing ring. And the cleaning lady coming in, not even noticing him, just kind of like, you know, doing straightening up and stuff. And we're all sitting there on the couch watching this and like, this isn't where I was expecting it to go this early. Yeah. So, and then the game promptly crashed. So that was where I was expecting it to go. Yeah.
We see a murder scene and then the PS home screen.
Yeah. If we had watched The Ring that night, I would have not gone to sleep. All right.
I own that. You should have said something.
No. I've got a couple of reviews to share with you before we get to the pile of shame. So, this is a big month. Well, this was a big month. We're taping this, full disclosure, we're taping this a little bit before the 4th of July week because I don't know if you know this about us, but our lives are pretty hectic at times, and so we have to get in taping when we can. So I was super excited to review Final Fantasy 16 for you because I am a weeb, and I love anime games like that, and I love me some Final Fantasy. And sure enough, Final Fantasy 16's demo came out, and we played it on Twitch, and it's up on our YouTube channel. And if you want to know my thoughts on it, you're going to have to watch that, because when we're taping this, Final Fantasy 16 has not yet come out. But what I can tell you, based on what I've seen, not just from the demo, but a little bit of early access stuff, it looks like whoever directed Final Fantasy 16 watched a lot of Game of Thrones, mostly the sex and violence parts. It's the first Final Fantasy game I've ever heard the F-bomb in, and they say it quite a bit. There is, early on, there is the main character's mother, who is just the worst person, like the absolute worst. I actually got a little triggered from some of my own experiences just playing the demo, because this woman, in the span of, and this is not really a spoiler, it's like the first hour of the game. In the span of the first hour of the game, hates your guts because you weren't born with a special ability like your little brother was. Insists that you're basically not much more than cannon fodder. A mission you're on goes horribly wrong, resulting in the supposed death of said younger brother and everyone else. You find out that the army that ambushed you was working for your mom, who then tells them, go ahead and kill him, or just put him on the front lines, and then he can die that way, and then just has her handmaidens executed for no other reason than, well, you know, fresh start. Time for a fresh start. This woman is evil on a level of which I don't know if I'm prepared for, but I already know an hour into Final Fantasy 16, I want to stab this woman so many times with the longest sword that they will give me. So if they're going for irredeemable sack of shit as a villain, good job so far. Mm-hmm. Good job so far. By the way, there's also a bad guy, a female antagonist named Benedicta. If that isn't the most on-the-nose name, I don't know what is, frankly, other than she's a badda. But that's just... that might have been DLC villain. I don't know. Final Fantasy 16 looks really good. Full review will be up at geekcavepodcast.com. We'll probably do another video on it. It's really good. But I was in Final Fantasy mode, so I borrowed a game from Gamefly called Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm. Because if there's one thing I love about the franchise more than the fact that I'm a giant weeb, it's that I love the music. The music from the Final Fantasy series is always well done. Heavily, a lot of orchestra involvement. And Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm is essentially a rhythm game, like Rock Band or whatever, that all you need are your thumbs and a couple of extra fingers. The way it works is music notes appear on screen, left to right, and all you need to do is be able to reach the thumbsticks and a couple buttons and just tap to the beat. This is clearly meant as a mobile game that they ended up porting to the Switch as well. But damn it if it didn't sucker me in for 20 hours, because, again, I love me some Final Fantasy music. So if you haven't played Theater Rhythm, get on that. You can unlock the soundtracks to 15 main series entries, as well as a bunch of side entries in the Final Fantasy series. Lots of fun. So... big fan of that.
Okay.
Let's see. Also coming to geekcavepodcast.com, by the time you hear this, there will be a review of All Elite Wrestling Fight Forever, the game that was lovingly referred to as Wait Forever because it was announced almost 2 years ago with no updates and now is out by the time you're hearing this. Other than that, before I get to the pile of shame, I want to tell you about another gaming thing that's close to all of our hearts. Let's talk about Extra Life.
Yay.
Now, are you guys ready for Extra Life? It seems like it's just approaching super fast this year.
I'm not ready.
Apparently, I'm hosting this year, so I am absolutely not
okay.
ready.
Okay, well, good. Good to know that we're attacking this the same way we attack everything else with an, oh shit, was that today? So let's talk about Extra Life real quick. You can find the link to our fundraising page at geekcavepodcast.com. Long and short of it is we're going to be playing video games for 24 hours straight. We won't be doing a 24-hour video marathon this year. We won't be streaming the entire thing live. We will still do Geek Cave Live, and we will still play games for 24 hours straight. You can head on over to geekcavepodcast.com, click on the Extra Life link, and find out about some of the great prizes, including Metroid Prime Remastered, a physical version of that. You'll be able to maybe win a three-month trial to Gamefly. You can also win some digital versions of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. So we're still building the prize list, but the important thing to know is 100% of your donation will go straight to Children's Miracle Network hospitals that are doing some good stuff and basically helping kids feel more like kids, which is the most important thing about all this. So,
absolutely.
All right. With no other business, or at least we have no business with anything else.
We have no business here.
Yeah. Well, speaking of such things, let's get into this. Hey, Kent. Yeah, go ahead and just put a quarter in.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
All right, guys. Well, this was a mistake.
All right, so that's a wrap on the podcast. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for...
What?
Wait.
I did stuff for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about the podcast as a whole. I'm not even talking about the year of the NES, where this year, for the Pile of Shame reviews, we are looking back and specifically playing games released on the Nintendo Entertainment System in honor of its 40th anniversary. No, both of those things were good ideas. The mistake was the limits I put on myself, limiting myself to nothing from the Super Mario Brothers, Metroid, or Zelda franchises. So, let's review. So far this year, I've been disappointed by Dick Tracy, grossed out by Abadox, almost quit the podcast business entirely because of Knight Rider, and I don't know how people who made Fox's Peter Pan and the Pirates continue to have careers in this industry after that game. Now, of course, there have been a few bright spots, namely DuckTales 2, Mega Man 3, and, surprisingly, Popeye. I mean, it's not like a really great, like, really bright point, but, like, it's maybe like a flashlight with, like, 50% of its light left, you know?
On a dark enough night, it does the job.
On a dark enough night, Popeye does the job. So, when I saw that this month's game on my list was Wrecking Crew, I was slightly optimistic. I mean, after all, it's Mario's first solo game. I mean, after he finished torturing giant monkeys in Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., Mario went right into the demolition business with Wrecking Crew. It's a puzzle platformer arcade title that involves you climbing ladders to reach walls that you can bash with your hammer until they turn to dust. It sounds fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds cathartic, even. So imagine my surprise when I came to find that I've already played this game. A better version of it. It's called Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle. Which was also released on the NES. And I decided to take this time to compare the two, because if I just talk about Wrecking Crew, this review would be over faster than I lost interest with it, which was about level 4. Now, in both games, you navigate maze-like levels, and you go up and down to different platforms. In both, you're chased by enemies. In both, the music is super repetitive, and the goal is simple to conceptualize, if not difficult to pull off. See, in Wrecking Crew, you break the breakable stuff, and in Crazy Castle, you collect all the carrots. Simple enough. The difference is that while Wrecking Crew's enemies look like weird Muppet versions of a Wish.com version of Flotsam and Jetsam from The Little Mermaid, Crazy Castle's enemies are instantly recognizable. Sylvester the Cat, Daffy Duck, Wile E. Coyote, Yosemite Sam. They couldn't do Bald right, so no Elmer Fudd, but I digress. Also, in Wrecking Crew, if you find yourself falling to the bottom of the stage, you could just be screwed. See, because there are some stages, such as an early one for me, where if you fall off, you don't take fall damage. But if there's no ladder, you can't get back up either. And if there's no enemies, you just have to wait to die. Which is a great design. So great. You know, it's made even better by the fact that the character you're playing is known for jumping. That's his thing. His name is Mario Jumpman Mario. It's his middle name. You mean to tell me he can't clear a 6-inch gap? I know you're lying. Because in Donkey Kong, he died from fall damage. In Wrecking Crew, he can fall off of a Goram skyscraper and survive, only to die alone at the bottom because he doesn't know how to leave. Meanwhile, in Crazy Castle, Bugs is never left without a way to get back up to another platform. There are these magical things you may have heard of called stairs that just are spread out throughout the level. In Wrecking Crew, like I said, you also have no way to fight the enemies attacking you, other than maybe trick them into going into a door so you have a few seconds to get away. Now, let's forget the fact that Mario is carrying a hammer. And these are snakes approaching. If anyone's ever seen the Simpsons episode about Whacking Day, You know what to do if a snake is approaching you and you have a hammer the size of your head. You do what Mario did in Donkey Kong, the earlier game, with barrels and a hammer. But no, he's nonviolent Mario now. He only hits drywall, apparently. But in Crazy Castle, you're not helpless. You can drop a safe on Sylvester's head. You can launch a boxing glove to take out multiple enemies at once. You can even get a hold of a potion that makes you temporarily invincible. And while both have repetitive soundtracks, at least Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle has different tracks after every few levels. So you did a break from that repetition, unlike Wrecking Crew, which has the same 8 notes over and over and over and over and over and over. Did I mention that Wrecking Crew is twice the length of Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle? Takes an hour to beat the Bugs Bunny one. Takes 2 hours and 3 minutes to beat Wrecking Crew if you don't die.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
How do I know that?
YouTube?
Wrecking Crew is available. Wrecking Crew is available on the Nintendo Switch Online app. And I had 3 hours to kill.
Oh, my.
So, was Wrecking Crew a good game when it came out on the NES? I mean, sure, for 1984. But Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle, which, interestingly enough, was a Roger Rabbit title in Japan, was a much more complete game when it hit the NES 4 years later. It's also, like I said, an hour shorter, which means it doesn't overstay its welcome. If I have to pick just one between two games with a surprisingly similar skill set, albeit one of them is walking on both legs and the other is like that Strong Bad cartoon Little Brother, I'm going to go with Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle. There's a reason that Mario ended up as a plumber, because this game is shit.
All right.
I would like so much to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including Deep Cave Comics, which went up yesterday, if you're listening to these in order, and Deep Cave Movies, which goes up tomorrow. There's also You Want Me to Watch What?, which is Chad and Justin's movie podcast, lovingly brought to you by Sci-Fi Remnant, and the Week 3 podcast, which Justin and I basically use to talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. There's also the occasional TLDR. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/DeepCavePodcast for live streams. Check out Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel. And you can find links to all of our social media channels at DeepCavePodcast.com. While you're at our website, be sure to join our Discord server where you can chat with us one-on-one, meet other fans, share your ideas, get early access to each new episode, and so much more. Also, like I said, you can find our Extra Life site there. For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Remember to not hit a bomb with a hammer unless you know you can climb back up afterwards. And everyone's a geek for something.